Hey, sweetie.
I'll pull it to you.
Oh, no.
You know, that's what it is. It's basketball. It's not a soft sport.
I'm going to be a man, and if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This man just gave me a job. I'm not signing that shit.
There's a lot I got to say, but I ain't going to do it here because it's free to air. I ain't going to curse.
Wow, how about that? Huh? There's a countdown now on Zencaster. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Joseph Coy here from Stats Before Media, and I've got Andrew Canyon, the fan man on the street, sports media mino. I like that tagline.
I'm back, baby. So, you thought you got rid of me, but no, here I am. I listened to your last podcast where you did it all by yourself. I appreciated the couple of shout outs of my name you gave me.
Well,
maybe feel all warm inside.
I was like, you know, I have questions and there's no one to answer them. So now we've got Andrew back and I can actually throw those questions at you. So I'm excited to get someone's input on this, Andrew's in particular. What are we going to do today? We're looking at the cup. We're going to go through that first, what I guess, quote unquote, round of games. And then I'm going to throw a few questions at Andrew that I wanted to last pod that I did by myself. And we've got a few talking points, I guess. Everyone knows Patreon, Marvelous. You can buy all that stuff. It's all in the description. Let's jump straight in. Before we get into the games, before we do that, I just want to ask this. MVP, when I say to you NBL MVP as of right now, if you were to give the award right now, not preemptive of what might happen right now, who gets it?
Bryce Cotton.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he still gets it. He's still scoring the ball. He had a bit of an off game against Southeast Melbourne last time out. But he's not only is he scoring at a high clip, he's actually getting great assist numbers as well. He's playing point guard half the time. Like, yeah, if it wasn't for him, where would that Wildcats team be right now?
Yeah, good point.
In the bomb shelter.
Before I give my answer, could you ask me
I know what
that
your answer is going to be. I know what you're going to say. I already had. I know
what am I going to say? What am I going to say? You tell me.
You're going to say Isaac Humphries.
I was going to pose the question of Isaac Humphries. I mean, he's been pretty damn good. You don't think so?
He has.
Well, you think he's been good, but not MVP?
Oh, no, he's been great. Couple like maybe Cotton, a couple of down games, than Cotton.
They have played a lot more though.
Yeah, and a lot of home games. Oh, I've got nothing against Humphries. He's been awesome. Don't get me wrong. I've got him as my local MVP. If you want to soften the blow a little bit, so Australian MVP Humphries, league MVP Cotton.
Yeah, fair enough. I can see a really strong case for Humphries though. I want to ask you the other question before we jump into the games as well. You're starting a team right now in production, Landale or Humphries? And I'll throw in John Mooney as well. Which of the three would you choose?
Yeah. John Mooney, surprise packet. I lambasted that signing.
Hey,
I was
not
pumped about that one. So what do I know, right? You should find a new co-host because I suck. John Mooney's been awesome, but I think – pound for pound, I would probably pick Landale just.
Over all both of them?
Yeah, yeah. And I say that just because he's got a bit more of that modern pick and pop game. You know, he can step out to the three and be dangerous from there. I haven't quite seen that from Humphries or Mooney as of yet. Defensively, you might get a bit more from Humphries. But I think the overall package, I'm going to take Landale.
Yeah, I mean... And give me an argument for Landale and Humphries. Oh, that boy Humphries has done his stats are pretty incredible. A lot of blocks, a lot of points.
Yep. See, and it's weird. I've got him as my local MVP, Humphries, but I'm saying if I want to start a team, I want Landale. I just think for that versatility, you're going to get a bit more. It sort of lets you be a bit more open about who else you might get on the team. Whereas I think Humphries is maybe a bit slower up and down the court too.
Mm. Doesn't have the outside game of the Landau.
No, more your traditional center, which I love. It's good to see some big old fashioned centers still dominating.
And Mooney, I love Mooney. And the reason why is, I don't think Jock Landau's assertive enough. I think he's the most talented of the three, but I find like John Mooney is just like, I know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it every second of every minute of every play. And I think, and that is a really hard thing to do. Typically, that's a very American mindset. Some of the Australian guys can kind of float in and out of games. Mooney doesn't do that. I just want to quickly say PER, the advanced stat, the sort of go-to stat of all. Guess who leads in that category, PER?
Probably of Mooney.
Anyone in the league.
Oh, in the league. Oh, jeez. I don't know. Cotton?
Yeah, it's Bryce Cotton. Yeah. Bryce Cotton tied with Humphreys. John Mooney in third. John Mooney and Cotton are taking on so much for that team. There is, I look at the, it's 2-on-5.
It's 2-on-5. It really is. It really is.
It's brutal. Yep. It is brutal. Jarrell Martin in fifth behind Mooney because Jordan Hunt is up top because he's played 1 minute, you know. Jarrell Martin's below Mooney. I mean, Martin's had way less minutes, way less touches. He's incredible. Jock Landau comes in at, what, his 10th down the list. Yeah,
he's way down.
Below the likes of Mitch Creek, Vic Law, Sobey. Tom Jervis is ahead of him. So there's a few anomalies.
There's an anomaly.
few anomalies in there. But what about Defensive Player of the Year?
Look, I had at the beginning of this, in the preseason, I was saying Simon, Justin Simon. Still think that's a really solid pick. But I think at the moment, just the block rate that Humphreys is achieving, you've got to say it's him. He's become a real factor inside and he's changing shots or sending them out. So Humphreys for mine. What about you?
I think Humphreys is the best candidate. I'm just trying to think who's the other candidate. Justin Simon, other than him, is there anyone else who's really?
Isn't Bryce Cotton like leading the league in steals or something crazy like that?
I've never considered.
Not steals. That I really consider. Yeah, you know what I mean. You know, like that would have been a Damian Martin stat. You'd go, you point to Damian Martin and say, "Look how many steals he's got. He's a great defensive player." Don't think the argument holds true for Bryce Cotton.
I would say as well with this. I mean, Melbourne are by far the best defensive team, or is it Perth?
I think it's. Well, I don't know what the statistics say, but Melbourne strikes more fear into my heart with their defensive structures than Perth do at the moment.
I think Perth, here's why I think it's Perth. Here's why the answer is Melbourne, but here's why I think it's Perth.
Okay.
Perth, their defense is better because it's under so much more pressure. Like Perth miss more shots. They, you know, there's so many more opportunities for teams to score against them than there are against Melbourne. Because Melbourne go down and score with a decent efficiency, you know. Whereas Perth, they're missing off the rim. They've got to be great in transition. They've got so much more to deal with because their offense is nowhere near as good as Melbourne's. So I do think Perth is better. But on the stats of it, I think Melbourne's would be better. Yeah. And it's still been really, really good. So then if it's like, wow, should the defensive player come from that team? You could make the argument it's Landau, but if you're making an argument for him, it's clearly Humphreys. Humphreys has carried that team to wins. I mean, we thought they were going to be terrible. I still think they're going to come back down to earth, but he has just, he's really surprised me. Are you more, because we were both down on Humphreys, we were both down on, you were more so down on Mooney. Which one are you more upset about or embarrassed about? Down on Humphreys or down on Mooney?
I think I'm more embarrassed about Mooney. Like, seriously, watching him play.
He has not had an off game.
No, and every play sequence, you watch him, he gets to his spots, you know, he presents as a post option, he rotates around, he sets a screen, he cuts hard, and then as soon as the shot goes up, he's finding a man, he's putting a body on, and he's getting that rebound. Just his fundamentally sound play. Mm. And then some of his finishes have been surprisingly athletic or impressive as well. Some finishes off the glass, going opposite side of the rim. Like he's showing that mid-range shot. It doesn't look great, that sort of free throw line, 45 degrees shot. But bang, it's on. He's just, don't leave him open. He is just doing a bit of everything.
I'm a huge fan. I had a feeling he'd be good. I just thought, rebounds. He's a real rebound specialist. Perth are going to use him. I had a good feeling about him and saw him play a couple of times and thought, yeah, he'll work well with Cotton. Good screen setter, you know.
Yep. And seems low maintenance as well. Perfect kind of guy.
Now, before we jump into the games, we will do our preseason predictions as well. We'll go through what we predicted because we're about a quarter of the way through the year, so it's a nice time to reassess as we go into the cup. But also before that, let's quickly touch on Rob Lowe leaving that team. And I mean, the way I want to frame this question to you is like, is this a Rob Lowe not happy, missing family, returns to New Zealand? Or is this is it a combination of that and that team is a little bit explosive on the brink?
It's hard to know, isn't it? I mean, I don't know Rob Lowe at all. I don't know his situation. So anything I say is just total guess. It's probably not really fair. As an observation, the one thing you can observe is that he had the same problem in Cairns. He had to leave Cairns for family reasons. I don't know what his family situation is. Everybody's different, right? So no judgment on that, just the circumstance it is. But it certainly leaves a hole.
Huge.
Yeah, I mean, the Breakers are already struggling and they lose. I mean, anything, he's been more productive than Colton Iverson.
Well, Colton Iverson's out the door, apparently. I saw a report that they've signed Novell Peel, fringe NBA guys kind of tinkering around the EuroLeague.
Yeah, I think I saw – I don't know how truthful that is, you know, because it seems a lot of speculation. But where there's smoke, there's fire. I think he's got a Lebanese background. I think that's where Dan Shamir and Modi are all sort of from that region, aren't they? From history in that region.
Israeli, Lebanon, yeah.
But, yeah, I think
– it's a hole, for sure.
It does leave a hole. So this discussion bad to worse for them. But yeah, the tweet I saw from Corey Webster was saying like, you're what now or something like that. Like he obviously had no idea or was portraying that.
Let's change tack. Preseason predictions. What we're going to do is, but rather than going through the whole thing and saying exactly where we'd make a change.
Yep.
You've got it in front of you, don't you? Our preseason predictions.
Yeah, okay. I do.
What I'll do is let's go through. And if you can make one change. But one change. You can't reshift everything. You can only do one. And it has to be a like-for-like swap. So I kind of remember your top four. But let's say you had New Zealand in the top four. Let's say you go, so that's my most egregious regret, and you want to swap someone out. But then you've got to take New Zealand down to, you know, you got to swap someone in and out. That's how it's going to work.
All right. Okay, so we're not talking awards because I've got a few egregious awards, but we're talking positions. Right?
They are so I feel like they were so difficult to predict. They were just throwing stuff at the wall. I had Craig Moller for most improved would be my probably most egregious. I think most improved caught us both out. I think
most improved is going to get you. Yeah, it's a terrible one to try and predict. Me and my Cam Glidden pick is not looking good for most improved.
It'll be Humphreys, won't it?
Does he qualify?
I would think so.
Because he's been out. I don't know if you can qualify if you weren't here last year. I might as well. Yeah, so my most improved at the moment is Tyrell Harrison from Brisbane. Yeah,
good one. Not JLA. He's missing time, JLA is the problem.
JLA is not bad. He wasn't terrible last year. True. But, yeah, he is improved, definitely improved. Probably a fair argument to be made there. Is that who you're going with?
Well, if Humphreys is eligible, obviously.
Okay.
Moller's regressed, if anything. And he was injured.
three-point shot hasn't improved.
Has he made one yet? Moller's a second unit guy, and he came off the bench the last game, and he had 9 points, I think. It was one of his better games. So I think that's the Rob Moller. I really can't think of anyone other than Humphreys. Who's around? You know, Tarungi was another option. No, he hasn't performed well. Yeah, Tyrell Harrison. Why not?
Yep.
Unless you're going totally off stats and going by feel, then maybe it could be AJ Ogilvy.
Yeah. Definite improvement.
The stats aren't there to back it up. They're not.
No.
But
the leadership, the poise.
The eye test is there.
Yeah.
Just the thought.
He hasn't improved his jawline shaving, though.
No, that's still a bit strange looking.
That's just a career weakness, I think.
Sorry, AJ. And he hasn't played in Perth yet, which I think is going to be critical for him. And may never will, if that's a terrible way to say that, but may not this season. Depends how COVID goes. Did you have any other egregious awards you want to change?
No, but let's talk about it. I'm happy to change one of my top four picks.
All right, just quickly, your top four. If I remember my top four, if I can remember, I had
I've got them here.
Melbourne, Perth, Cairns, and South East Melbourne.
Yep, nailed it. Yep.
Who was your top four?
Mine was Melbourne United, Cairns, Breakers. And Wildcats. I think you can probably guess which one I want to change.
Yeah, go ahead. You make your one change and why
I'm tossing the Breakers and I'm bringing in the Phoenix.
Okay.
And in that order, no less. I'm putting Phoenix.
He's not Perth. Come on.
I'm putting Phoenix at three, man. Like, I like what I'm seeing from them. I like Creek. I love Ryan Brokoff. And I really like Cam Glidden to the bench. Like, that's going to change everything.
Listen, I'll tell you this much with that team. I mean, they're beating Perth and Perth. I mean, notch it up to Jesse Wagstaff for the win, but they've beaten Perth in Perth, and that is the hallmark of a champion. And I don't think any other team's done it this year. Not that they've had the opportunity, but they've done that. That's a big tick if you're actually going to be a legit team in the NBL. And then if you were to look at that team and go, what was their biggest problem and what's their best solution? Yep. It was Tarangi and Glidden. They found the solution. Win production.
Yep.
The bigs have been a little bit iffy, but I like Wetzel. Wetzel will settle, as will Moore. And then yep. Pinot comes back. So when that happens, I'm not worried
That's
about
fine.
That.
That's
I'm,
fine.
I'm more than capable. But it was that win production. That was the biggest problem. And Brokoff, I think you'd agree, he solves that in spades.
Yeah, and Sykes is getting better by the game.
Oh, by like, the game, yeah.
Man, as he figures out this league. Whew.
I was down on him in comparison to Robertson. Yeah, I didn't think he was going to – I just liked Robertson's outside shooting. What can I say?
You haven't lost much the way Sykes has been shooting the ball.
I know.
He's still pretty lethal. Lethal enough.
Puts pressure on the rim. Like Robertson didn't put pressure on the rim. No, he's at this point, it's looking like an upgrade, but not by a huge deal, don't get me wrong, but an upgrade, just that pressure.
I've also got a secret man crush on Simon Mitchell. So.
Oh, will do. He's great. He's very kind to
Love
us.
Love that guy.
If you had to make it, just although you can't make it, what would have been your second change?
Second change.
Would you have taken? Would you get cans out of the top?
Yeah, cans. See you later. And would have swapped in the Hawks. Yep.
Yeah, United, Perth, Phoenix, Hawks. That is a pretty solid top four at this stage. That probably is the top four. I don't have the ladder in front of me, but that would.
Well, at the moment, it isn't because Perth are down in seventh or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Due to percentage. But, who's in there? Melbourne, Illawarra, Adelaide, Southeast Melbourne.
It's just too hard to get a read. Like Adelaide have had so many home games. Cairns have had so many home games. Mm. You know, it's just Perth and Southeast Melbourne have only ever played each other. It's a weird season.
You know, I'm going to make my change, and I don't think I'm going to take Cairns out of the. Where did I have Cairns? Third. I'm not leaving. I'm not taking them out. I'm leaving them there. I know that's ridiculous. They're 2-6. No, they'll turn it around. I think this cup's going to be good for them. I think I'm going to take Adelaide off the bottom. Oh, no, I've got the Hawks in seventh. No, I've got to put them up. Who have I got out of my top four and in what order, if you don't mind my asking?
Hang on, I don't understand the question. You've got...
Yeah, you know, I've got fifth I had finishing who?
Fifth you had Breakers.
Ugh.
Then you had sixth Kings, seventh Hawks, eighth Bullets, ninth Sixers.
Well, obviously, I'm going to swap out Adelaide and New Zealand. I think that's the biggest egregious. I think Adelaide are going to definitely not finish. I think Breakers are going to be bottom.
Okay. Yeah,
they don't look good at all.
No.
And Adelaide, I've won too many games already. Adelaide have won five games all at home. I'm just going to be definitive now. I know Hawks need to be above seventh, so I'm going to switch the Breakers and the Hawks.
So you're going to put the Hawks at fifth?
Yeah.
So they're missing out?
They're missing out. I think.
Oh, my.
I know. This is ridiculous, isn't it? they went to Melbourne. No. I'm going to swap out Cairns and the Hawks. That's the obvious choice, isn't it? I don't want to. I want to be the one guy who's against Gorgon. One guy, I like Harvey a lot. No, they play too good. They're too good. Yeah, I'll swap out the Cairns and put in the Hawks. My question to you, Andrew, can Cairns make the top four? They're 2-6. Played eight, 2-6. Most were at home.
I already feel like I'm into that point where I'm saying mathematically they can make the playoffs.
They
realistically.
They absolutely
no,
can.
No, they've used up too many home games. Like their home was their fortress last season. That's what got them through. They could drop a few on the road because they didn't lose home.
They weren't at home though. They're in some Bunnings shed. Like, is it?
Well, it's as home as they've got. They can't. You know, it's like the New Zealand Breakers look at that shed and say, "If only." You know, like.
Yeah, good point.
You know,
I think the other problem is as well. They've dropped some. They just have dropped games. They're four games below 500. That's a huge,
it's a long way back
against good teams, and you know they lost at home, but also they just don't look good. They do not look good. Noi and Deng, like Deng has been really shown up defensively, I think, but Noi's not there. Mave King gives them nothing. It's just Machado out there, and I feel like Oliver's slightly regressed. So,
okay, here we go. I'll tell you what. The only way Taipans get in is at the expense of the Wildcats. So there's your pick.
Good point. When you put it who's
going to get through? And I still have some sort of sense that the Wildcats are going to somehow get caught and naturalized, and they're going to bring in that extra import.
Or the Phoenix. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, this is a team that's sitting 4-4. The Phoenix are making it. They're going to play so many games at home, and they're going to get Ryan Brokoff.
Yeah.
Nah, they're in. Nah, Cairns are out.
Yep. Sorry, Cairns.
Sorry, Cairns. But I do want to take Adelaide off the bottom because New Zealand have got that wrapped up right now.
Yeah. So with a rocket, Adelaide what, go to eighth?
Adelaide go from ninth. Well, I don't know. I mean,
doesn't matter. They're all not making the playoffs, right?
Here's another question I want to ask you. Out of these teams, Cairns, Brisbane, and Sydney, who would be the most likely to make the four?
Cairns, Brisbane, Sydney. Sydney's just decimated with injuries, so I just don't see them.
Has there been any update on Jerome Martin? I don't think so.
Not that I've heard.
That's a bad sign.
So at least a couple of weeks, if not more. Cairns.
If you had to give an answer, Cairns, Brisbane, or Sydney to make it in the top four, don't think about who they're knocking out.
Brisbane.
Why?
They look like they're showing real improvement, and it seems like they're happy this season. They feels like they're much more bought in. You've got Sobey and Law, really a good 1-2 punch. They need, if they could get one third guy going, I don't know whether that's Orlando Johnson, whether they say, let's make a run for it, let's cut ties with him and get somebody good. Or they get Drimmick actually putting the ball in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
They just need that third guy, and I think that'd be a way.
Not Sydney? My answer is if Martin is healthy, Sydney, because Martin's really good.
He's really good. I still worry for Sydney. They've still got, I mean, What's the deal with Didi?
Didi can't play is a problem. I've said it. I haven't seen enough out of this kid. He's always injured. I sound like Roy Keane there. Like, you know, hey, he really likes Dennis Irwin. Never injured. And I feel like he's just always hurt. Or halfway in between getting hurt or coming back from being hurt. I'm just a bit sick of it.
Okay.
I'm just over it at this point. And DJ Vucevic has just surpassed him.
He has.
My kid's got such balls and grit. I'm a huge fan. Huge fan.
If you're an NBA guy right now, wouldn't you be looking at him over Didi?
Well, can he defend his position?
Well, no, probably not. But
you know, he's 6'4". He's strong, but he's just not. But Didi, if I was an NBA guy, I'd rather have DJ than Didi.
Yeah. So, but no, I just don't think the King. They're too fluky. You'll probably get a good game out of him. You get a good Casper Ware game. It seems like he's come back into some form, but I'm still not totally sold on him.
If you listen to my podcast, you know how negative I am about them. I just think their game plan is so cynical. It's just ground out defense. If we're going down, we're going to take you and this game with us. This is their motto. It's like, you're going to be there to break our fall. They break down games. They're low scoring. They're terrible to watch. And then maybe they just get enough production out of either DJ or Martin and they win. Or Casper has that, 25-plus point game and they fluke a win. I can't. Are they your least favorite team to watch or just me?
Sydney? Yeah. Like, I'm just looking at my notes from the last round and the Sydney-New Zealand game, my first point was an brutal, ugly, ugly game.
That's the least attractive game of basketball I've watched in a decade.
Yeah.
Maybe longer. They
did. I mean, the Hawks game is good. I mean, that was it was great. Tyler Awesome was amazing. But Casper Ware again stuffed it up at the end. I don't like watching Sydney other than seeing I like watching Martin. I think Jarrell Martin's really
Martin
fun.
And
fun
DJ are the only reasons I keep tuning in. For sure. Anything else you want to, any comments? Oh, I want to ask you a question because I did pose it last thing.
Yes.
Harry Frolling. Are we striking his name off the list? Is he an NBL player?
Is he an NBA player? Well, that was the question a couple of seasons ago, wasn't it?
That is where we're at. That was a question to... No.
Can I answer that one? No.
Yeah, well, we can both answer that one.
Is he an NBA player?
This is a good situation for him. He's getting beaten to the starting spot by Tyrell Harrison, who's a good player, but he's 21 years old. That was Harry Froehling's spot. What the hell's going on?
And look at his brother. I think I'm putting a line through Harry Froehling. I think he's done. Like, no.
And I'm with you on this one. What trust would you have? The work rate's not there to justify any sort of dips in production. I'm sorry.
He doesn't look like he's going to the gym anymore. Like, he just looks like sort of...
He's a big body, but he just looks still getting flabby, bumped around.
No confidence.
It's sad, and I don't want to do it. I mean, I look at the brother. Sam is doing the opposite.
Yeah.
I can't explain.
I mean, and you can't say that Froehling hasn't been the beneficiary of good coaching. Yeah, okay, so Sam has Gorgian, right?
Mm.
But, I mean, you've got Lamanis. He was a national coach.
They're in identical situations.
He's won a bunch of championships. He's a good coach. And obviously, they're developing young players that you watch. They've developed Will Magnay. They've developed Harrison.
Mm.
Like,
Hodgson,
sorry if you,
to an extent.
Hodgson, yeah, well, you know.
But here's the thing. I'm interrupting, Andrew.
No, you're not. Just go ahead.
Well, whose situation am I describing here? Which player am I talking about, Sam or Harry Froehling? Who am I? My current coach is a former coach of the Boomers, and the person I'm playing behind is quite foul prone, a local, and a little bit clumsy, or at least had that reputation last season. You can't tell me which one I'm talking about because it's both, because one's backing up, you know, one's playing with Ogilvy, one's playing with Hodgson. There's plenty of time for both of them, and one's taking it and running, and the other not so much.
Yeah, and one seems to be enjoying his basketball, and the other doesn't. Yes.
That is,
and I just wonder if Harry checks out, where he's just like, "Nah, I don't want to do this anymore." Just, that's the impression I get from him. Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know him from a bar of soap.
No, neither. I tell you what, if anyone's upset by that, prove me wrong, Harry Froehling. Prove me wrong. Go out there and play, because I'd love to see him play well. Yeah. Do you want to go into these cup games, or you got something else to say?
Yeah, well, I think the one thing, I don't think we need to say anything. We said. Touched it. Ryan Brokhof, obviously, the signing. Did we talk about it? I don't know if we have. There's been so much talk about it. Everybody knows the situation.
Only question that I'll have is, when does he arrive? How long's his quarantine? When's he going to hit the floor?
Yeah.
Because by the sound of it, it's late NBL Cup, maybe just after.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between the two. Huge difference between the two. Because if they're still banking on Glidden and Turangi, well, they're going to drop every second game or thereabouts, unless Sykes, Creek, and Wetzel and Moore and drag them through it. So that's the only thing when we talk about Saturday's Melbourne making the four, it's questionable about whether he gets there in time. Because once he's there, I mean, he jumps up as one of the better wings in the competition and the reliable shooting that they haven't had.
Yeah.
One thing with him is that.
Before we jump onto the cup games, I just want to say thank you to the NBL who they put a little. There's an Easter egg on their website. I'm going to call it an Easter egg.
Oh, yeah.
Go to the player page, and just take a look at Tony Crocker's image in comparison with everybody else on the player page.
Okay, I've got it in front of me. 2 moments. Keep talking while I look this up.
It's everybody's doing. You know, they got the standard photo shoot with head.
What's his first
uniform.
Name? Barry. No, it's
Tony Crocker.
Because they do it by alphabetical by first name.
Yeah, and Tony Crocker, just gone for a slightly different look. Looks like something from an album cover. I think it's... They've already got broken.
So the others are all like from the sort of...
It's the school photo. Yeah, yeah. Even then, Ryan Brokhof, they've already got him up there in a uniform.
Crocker, it's just a head. He's just turned to the side. Yeah, it looks like a Craig David album cover.
Yeah, yeah. So just... Thanks, NBL. That was good laugh I had as I was scrolling through all the players earlier.
That is funny. Let's jump onto these cup games. Let's do this now. I've got it in front of me. First of all, NBL Cup. This thing's pretty neat. A lot of games. I will say, if you're on the West Coast, not the best time zone for you, I'm afraid. Some of these games, like, okay, Saturday's games are fine. Sunday are fine. You know, you're gonna get breakfast basketball. Are you? Hang on.
No, not quite. Midday, lunchtime. Have a sandwich and a game of basketball.
Come Monday, the working day, the working week, unless you're free at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're not watching these games.
Just... Early smoko. Mm. You know, packing. But yeah, even if then you've got to go, you might be able to just pick up the kids at halftime if you've got those, 3 o'clock, quickly spin out, grab them, take them home, watch the second half of the game on TV.
Yeah, that's true.
Or on Twitch. Watch it on Twitch. That's the place to be.
Watch it on Twitch. Or get some really good mini matches. That's don't worry about that. someone's knocked up. Let's do this. Let's go through. We're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about how the two teams in the game are trending and our tip. First one's on Saturday, February 20th. Cairns are going to host the now newly anointed Illawarra Hawks. Who you got?
I can't go past Illawarra. I think too much firepower. This is the worry for Cairns. Every time I look at the matchup they've got, I just am tipping against them. Just don't see how they can beat any team at the moment.
This is a tough one. I think, how can you make any case for Cairns? Like, what have they got going for them at this point? And they haven't played in so long. When was the last time they played? Did they play last round? No, they didn't. Yeah, the last time they played was February 8th.
Oh, their game got cancelled. That was the Melbourne Cairns.
Ah, that's very right. So do you think that works in their favour or to the detriment? I think it must.
I think it helps.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's got to help. They can go back to the drawing board and recreate themselves. But then you've got to come up against the Illawarra Hawks who are, got their name back, feeling good about themselves.
I'm tipping Cairns. Okay. I'll tell you what, I think the break is good. I think Cam Oliver, he's been bruised. He's had time to think about it. He's had time to reassess the scout, not distracted by, game after game after game after game. I think Cairns are going to win. I think he's going to have a good one. They're going to win. I think Scott Machado is still best point guard in the NBL. Point guard. And I like him doing something against Illawarra. When you push him, Justin Simon can't shoot the ball so great. Jessup can, but he's hot cold at times. There are some fragilities in that team. So I'm not a confident pick, but I'm picking Cairns.
Okay. And if you're in Melbourne, this is the hot ticket day to go to. This is a great match. So you've got Cairns Illawarra, really fun to watch. And then you've got that's the curtain raiser. And then you've got the main event, Melbourne up against Perth.
Yeah,
big Perth game. Trying to bounce back after a flogging, and Melbourne trying to show that they're definitely the team to beat. What a great day of basketball! $10, $10.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. I think I put up a tweet about things you could buy for a tenner, and it was like 50 liters of mulch at Bunnings, 3 Hungry Jack's cheeseburgers, or tickets to 2 games. And seriously, in these 2 games, you're likely Simons can't shoot free throws. Depending on who gets up there for Perth on occasion, you can get some.
Blanchfield, Steindl, Mitch Norton, they all might give you some burgers.
Yeah, it may just crack under the pressure. So there's every chance you get. If you can somehow manage to wrangle 3 cheeseburgers from the 2 games, you can go out and sell them and you made your money back. Anyway, let's go on to the next one.
You probably pay $10 for your ticket and $12 for your beer.
That's the funny thing. Someone on Twitter put that up. Very funny tweet. Melbourne Perth, who you got and why? Before you give your tip, are they better without Golding? We talked about Golding as a Ewing theory candidate. Essentially, they're better without him. Cheeky suggestion. Yep. And we're not saying that. Yep. We're just observing. Hobson had a good game against Illawarra. That was their toughest matchup to this point. They won it.
Yep.
What do you think?
Baba is getting more time to assert himself.
He's
way more defensively than you get from Chris Golding. Way more
and transitionally.
Yep.
What do you think? It's early days to speculate, but
Ewing theory. I'm going to say it's looking 70%. Yes, it's a Ewing theory.
The needle is bouncing like it's a dancing needle, but it's kind of.
I think it's definitely in play. If they get on a bit of a roll here, I like the theory.
Well, here's the thing with Barber as well. Like we saw this with, his athleticism. Tell me if I'm overreaching here. There's comparisons to James Ennis. Not the
Come now.
Well, let me explain. Not the ups, but the actual speed with the ball, the speed off over ground. I think there's comparisons. Why you don't think so?
I'm not seeing that. I'll watch more carefully now. because it hadn't really occurred to me.
He's
James Ennis. James Ennis was ridiculous.
Yeah, but I think the league was way worse when he was there. He was dancing. People looked ridiculous. Like, it looked like he was the only one who had skates on an ice rink, and everyone was just pummeling there. Guys were terrified of him. No, it's an exaggeration, but Barber's so quick. I mean, he is freakishly quick, and that's just such an asset in the NBL, which is over athleticism can really present itself in the NBL. I mean, Ennis made people look ridiculous. Barber's not at that level, but gee, there's a case for it.
You don't want to be too quick because you might slip on a decal.
Can we go back to that? Actually, this is important. Actually, we'll talk about when we get to Sydney. Who you got?
Melbourne.
Why?
They're just all over. Like, they just come at you in waves. You see off the starting unit, and then another guy comes out. Yeah, JLA steps on and scores.
Well, he's hurt, isn't
10.
He?
Is he?
I think so.
Okay, maybe. Oh yeah. Well, then maybe Jack White comes and gets some offensive rebounds. I don't know.
If nothing I learned from their last game, Perth held them. That was a low-scoring game, 71-75, I want to say.
Yep.
It's about right. Can Melbourne put points up against Perth, and it's kind of always been their issue. No Illy. The thing is Hobson. Hobson looked really good in the absence of, and it's cruel to say in the absence of Golding, but, he hasn't been there.
Well, there's only one basketball to go share around, and it's one less dude to share it with. So. Yeah.
And he just looked bad. Like the fit next to Barber just looked a little bit more sensical.
But Perth are not going to have Steindl. They just can't score enough points to stay with Melbourne. I don't care how good your defense is. You still need to put it
without Shea Illy, you would have thought the cotton stocks come up a little bit. Maybe they can score enough because he can go for 30-something.
Yeah, but then Baba showed he could do it last time. Do it again.
You're going Melbourne.
All right. So I'm going Melbourne.
I'm going Melbourne at home. But I think it'll be closer than you think. I mean, the Wildcats defense, it does make inroads into these teams. But I'm just trying to think if I had any questions for you about either two. Oh, Travers. I was like, should he be starting anymore? I just think he should be coming up against second units. He's got something there, but he seems stymied by starting units. What do you think?
I know what you mean, but I don't know who. I was thinking about this the other night as I was falling asleep. Things you think about. You've only got Jesse Wagstaff. He's the only other viable option. And I just worry that without him coming off the bench, they look really young and thin.
Especially with Steindl hurt. Maybe you could have gone with a Steindl or Blanchfield. But
that's right.
I mean, let's put Tom Jervis in there. And it's Jervis, Mooney, Blanchfield, Norton, Cotton.
Just this team's. It lacks balance. It's a poor construction.
Melbourne. Let's move on. Next game.
We never get finished.
Southeast Melbourne are hosting the Brisbane Bullets. They will be broke off less.
Yep.
Who are you picking and why?
This is an interesting one. I could make arguments for either team, but I'm going to go Southeast Melbourne. They're at home. They're full of confidence after last week. They might fluke a good game from Tarangi or Glidden. I just think they've got enough to get over Brisbane. Although,
I think Southeast Melbourne too. Who's going to guard Sykes? Sobey.
Jason Kadu. Good luck with that.
That's why I'm picking Southeast Melbourne. I think he's too athletic for Kadu, too savvy for Sobey. One thing I will say is I brought this up in the last pod. Mitch Creek, I didn't in the games they've lost, he hasn't been a huge part of it. He's had to go and get his own shots off the backboard, offensive rebounds. Do you have any explanation for me as to why they can lose to Perth by 30 and then beat Perth by 30? Well, you watched them both. How was that possible?
Yeah, I did. I watched them both and I just don't understand it. I don't know how you get that much of a swing. It's got to be between the ears.
I agree.
I don't see any other reason. Just the attitude you come into the game with.
Anything else from Brisbane? We kind of spoke about them before Frolling and that.
Yeah, look, the only way Brisbane might make this put a challenge up if they can go inside and use their big front line against Southeast Melbourne, that might make a difference. But
yeah, Vic Law and Sobey combining for 50 wouldn't hurt either. And I think who's going to guard Sobey? It's going to be Norton. It's going to be whoever. And then Jesse Wags. Norton. Norton, right the way around. It'll be for South East Melbourne. Yeah, it's just enough to cover those guys anyway, even if it's not the Wildcats. Yep.
So the main event for Sunday. What a main event. You have that game. South East Melbourne, Brisbane, followed up by Sydney, Adelaide.
Oh, yeah. Again. Who's winning and why?
Oh, gosh. Maybe Adelaide, just because they've got more fit players. Because Martin's not going to be playing, is he?
Doesn't look that way.
Lucky Adelaide. That's what I'm going to put it down to.
If Martin, can I make a pick with an asterisk? If Martin plays, I think Sydney. Yep. If Martin does not play, Sydney don't have a prayer.
Yep, that's what I'd say too. But I'm thinking Martin's not going to play, so I'm putting my money on Adelaide. By the way, I'm putting this into footytips.com.au as a way of tracking my tips.
Good man.
I think Joe and I are both on there. If you've been updating your tips, I hope you have been.
I have. Yep, I have indeed. Sydney, anything to say about Adelaide?
I mean, anything to say in Sydney, Adelaide? I don't even really care.
It'll be hideous. I know it's already going to be hideous. I mean, how bad was that Adelaide game? Who'd they play? And they got beaten badly by who? By 21. It was Brisbane, wasn't it?
It was Brisbane, Adelaide. Yeah, 93-74.
They look very tepid. I'm not high on Adelaide. I know they've got a decent record. They've played every game at home and they're 5-4. You're meant to win your home games, and they've done that. But they haven't played a lot of good teams at home. Like, I don't think Perth have played there yet. I don't think Illawarra.
Let me ask you a question of Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to ask you a question. Do you think the scout has figured out Giddy?
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask about. Yeah, you were saying.
Because I don't think he's been nearly as effective in the more recent games as he has in the last ones. And they've been talking about, the commentary team were talking about his confidence in his shot, yada, yada. Yeah, fair enough. But I'm not really buying that. I just think people are figuring him out. Like, and he's still talented and he'll still do some good things. But I think on balance, they're learning how to stifle him now. They know what he's all about. He doesn't have that shock of the new anymore.
I just think, here's the thing, like I'm about to say the physicality's getting over the top of him, and here's why I say that. He's got a very similar physique to LaMelo Ball. They're about the same size. You know, LaMelo Ball wasn't exactly made of steel either, but the difference is LaMelo Ball had such command of the dribble that he could get anywhere he wanted to by virtue of just being able to put it in and around his head and around guys. He was a freak. Giddy doesn't have that kind of handle. He really doesn't. He's more of an up, straight back type player. Whereas, you know, LaMelo Ball was so kind of sleeky, go in and out of play.
Yes. Yep.
I don't think. Have you been impressed by Giddy? If you're an NBA scout, are you like,
I've been impressed with him as an 18-year-old. I think he's looking pretty good. But impressed to the point where I'd say, like, I want him on my NBA team next year? No.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I just think, you know, he's got plenty. He had plenty of opportunity, and the stats are quite good. But yeah,
He still looks young. He looks
really young. He looks really young, and the shot's okay, not great. You know, the percentages are quite poor, but he can pass. He's got a good feel for the game, but at NBA level, toughy, as we've said. But yep, that's all I've got on Sydney Adelaide. That'll be one to kind of hit the snooze on. Let's move on. Illawarra hosting New Zealand. I think we're both picking the Hawks here.
Yeah.
Is there any way that New Zealand turn this around and get off the bottom of the ladder?
The Webster brothers pass it back and forth between each other and they
what's
both
What's a bigger problem for them? Is it their imports being, their production being so poor, or the Websters being a little shot focused? If you had to diagnose the issue the primary issue,
I'm putting it down to the Websters.
Really?
I don't like, there's something off. I watch them play and Ty Webster reminds me of the kind of guy that I would have hated to play with.
Wow.
Somebody who dances around putting on a million dribble moves and you're standing there saying, I'm open, dude. I'm open. Trying to pass. Nah, you got it. Okay, good. And sometimes it'll go, his shot will go and be like, yeah, top work, man. Thanks for scoring again. You know, like just self before team. That's what I'm seeing from him.
I'm not denying that, but I think it's the imports, and I'll tell you why. I think it's Patterson. I mean, they put a lot on Patterson. They've obviously paid him well because Colton Iverson is not, it's not like they've gone out and got Machado and Oliver. You know, they haven't spent like that. No. Like it's clear they've put most of the money to one side, being the Patterson side.
And he's put all his money, Lamar Patterson, into Krispy Kreme.
Into sugary snack treats. The production from those two has been abysmal. And you can't whiff on your imports. You can kind of whiff on your locals. You cannot whiff on imports.
Yeah.
It's what they're paid to do. It's just they're the better players. And they've just been, both of them have not held down their position. And Shamir at times has benched pretty much every player on this team. Ty Webster got a wrenching the other day for being selfish.
Yep.
Patterson got a rude shock day one and two and pretty much every game. And then Colton Iverson didn't get a lot of blow that first game. And then got a bit more, is easing his way into the lineup now and has looked better, but the production is still not there. Shamir wanted to play those two 30 plus minutes a game and he can't do it.
No.
So I put it down to the imports just because at least Ty Webster's there. He's fit, he's healthy, he's playing. Yeah, he's a bit shot heavy, but you know, someone's got to shoot it.
Yeah.
Their problem's been just everything else. But listen, the Webster's a huge problem. I said this before. I said in that pressure of what's happening, how anyone could have tipped them to finish in the top four when they weren't going to play any home games is mystifies me. But anyway.
Yeah, I didn't think that through.
I just thought, I just didn't. And then the Webster brothers, I was just like, at what point last year was anyone like, we need Corey Webster to make the push? I was like, no, we don't need that. They don't need that at all. So, but as I said, so you don't think there's any chance they don't finish bottom?
No, I've got them bottom. Yeah, I think definitely they're going to finish bottom. I just can't see them.
Adelaide have already won 5 games. They've already got plus 4 on them. And well, Adelaide have dropped a few games as well. That, again, it's a big deficit to make up. And now they lose Rob Lowe. So, yeah, too bad for the Breakers.
Yep.
Moving on. Melbourne are going to host Cairns. Is that a flip? Weren't they playing them earlier in the round?
No.
What happens here? What do you think?
See, this is another one of those games where you just think Cairns, they might be showing some improvement. How do they get over Melbourne? I just keep seeing. And so Cairns keep losing. This is a real problem.
Yeah, it's so hard to tip them, isn't it?
It's on the game by game. It's like I don't see where they're going to get that win from.
They're now going up against what will be, if your pick is correct, an undefeated team.
Yeah.
Oh, no, against both of our picks because we had them beating Perth, didn't we?
Yeah. So it's really, really tough. Poor Cairns. You've got to have an upset at some point. Maybe this is the upset if you want to look at it that way.
Well, I'll look at the odds on game day. I'm tipping Melbourne. It's Melbourne at home. It's Melbourne at home and they're playing well and they play defense. And I do feel like Cairns are the team where if you put them under pressure, they will crack. And they will all four of them, except Machado, will do their own thing.
Yeah.
Can't have it. We've spoken about these two teams already. Let's jump on. Yep. Oh, actually, while we're on Cairns, Mahave King. You were high on him. You had him rookie of the year. Do you think?
I did.
I don't see it, man. I don't see. And well, I said.
In the preseason. The preseason games is why I had him because, like, he was going ballistic, but he's just. He's lost confidence. The coaching team, it would seem, he's lost confidence in himself. And it seems like now when he steps on the court, he's so desperate to do something that it's actually doing himself a disservice.
Who is more out of confidence and more just adrift, Mahave King or Kendall Stevens?
Kendall Stevens has done some okay things, I think.
Yeah.
So I think he's come on and hit a couple of threes.
Yeah,
but it's an interesting comparison because,
Kendall Stevens may not be a Southeast Melbourne Phoenix much longer, because my understanding is, Southeast Melbourne are over the limit and they need to get rid of someone else because Brokoff will replace an injury replacement, and then when Pinot comes back, they are as they say in Angela's Ashes, one too many. Uh-huh. And, so someone's got to go. And my question to you would be, if it's not Kendall Stevens, who is it?
Cam Glidden.
Oh, dear me. Who's having a worse campaign start to their NBL career? RJ Hampton or Mojave King?
Oh, Mojave King for sure.
Mojave King for sure. For sure.
RJ Hampton was all right. I mean, he had to play in limited minutes, but at least he got
some minutes. Mojave King probably has played the same total minutes to this round five or six as RJ Hampton had in his first game.
It's really, what's going on? What is the story?
Oh, I tell you what, the agents, Lighthouse Sports, would be fuming. Fuming.
Millions of dollars.
Well, it's like we're talking about a first round draft pick. The difference between going in the top 20 and going in the second round is massive. He would be absolutely spewing. He'd be saying, the conversation now would turn to, you're 2-6 or whatever it is. You're a lost cause. Play the kid.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to get volatile. There, I said it. Because don't forget who's also a client of Lighthouse, Cam Oliver. So all of a sudden it might be kind of like, yeah, we've got options. You know, we've got teams that might want to buy out Cam Oliver. We might want to renege on a deal, you know. Chart that. Let's watch Mojave King and see if he gets a little bit more time.
Mojave King, just under 11 minutes a game, and he's shooting 23%.
Oh.
It's not pretty. Free throw percentage of 17%.
Oh, let's move on. This is, you're hurting my ears.
3 points a game.
Sydney. Hosting the Perth Wildcats. This one's going to be on ESPN. Who you got?
I've got Perth. I get Perth on this one.
Better defense. Not by a lot, but a freshly better defense. Injury cloud over Martin. Speaking of Martin, meant to talk about him.
Yep.
Did he slip on a decal?
That incident, no, he didn't. He was off the decal.
But the point still stands. Like, these decals have been a nightmare. But no, he
didn't. Yeah, I mean, I saw other slips. I'm sure I saw other slips this last round. That were on decals that sort of didn't lead to an injury, but were definite slips. What's going on with these things? Like, they've been on courts for years. They're not a new feature. Mm. Like, there has to be something different. Is it just that there's more of them?
Hey,
I don't even feel that there are.
Well, and also I was going to say something silly, like, because there's been no crowds, like the lack of humidity. That's ridiculous, because at the games there's been the most slippage, there have been crowds in Adelaide. Who's applying them? I want to know. I think it's an actual issue of application and maintenance rather than we've had them on the courts for years. They look exceptionally bad this year. Who puts them on the court? Who is the company that does it? It's obviously not the NBL itself. Who is the painter or the sticker man? I don't know what you call the profession who does it, because it's not a good look.
My other question is, this is a bit of a bugbear of mine forever. I remember ever since I was young, I used to watch court wipers, right? And particularly in Perth, I remember going to games at the old Challenge Stadium, and the court wipers, I'd watch them because I'd always get pissed off because they'd have really good seats, obviously, just right behind them. But they were teenagers, right? And what does a teenager care more about than anything else?
Money for booze?
Well, that's one answer. The other answer is looking cool. Right. Cool. And how you look cool is you kind of just don't put much effort into anything. And I would get frustrated because it'd be like, this is your job, kid. Get out there and look alive. Like, get out there and scrub that floor and scrub it like you mean it. Right. But they'd sort of saunter out, like, sort of, you know, hey, man, and like slowly, casually wipe the floor. I'm wondering, is that the problem? That you've got teenagers.
Let me get this straight.
Not wiping courts effectively.
The issue of the decals. Are you blaming the punk teenagers? Is that what you're blaming?
That's what I'm doing. Get off my lawn while you're at it.
It could be. You know what? There's every
get those little squidgy wipers and do a good job. Don't do a teenager who's like, oh, I'm too cool for this, man.
Here's what you do. Here's
pretty girls in the crowd.
You go to the curling society in your local state.
Oh, yes.
And you go, give me your best curler. And you marry the sport and the profession.
See, you're an ideas man. This is what I like about you.
Thank you. This is why we started this podcast, ideas like that. Get a champion and make a thing of it, like champion curler, and then you sell their club and you're like, here he is, he's wiping the floors. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anything else from this game? Sydney, Perth, anything to say about these two teams?
No, I like watching Vasiljevic play. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to him lighting up.
Yep. And he will. He will be interested to see him against the Wildcat defense.
Gunner.
All right. This one, back into the Groundhog Day. Adelaide hosting Southeast Melbourne.
I feel like I've seen Adelaide play like about 25 times this Adelaide season.
Play so much. All right. We talked about putting a line through Harry Froling. We putting a line through Keanu Pinder?
Yes. Yes.
Problem is, they don't have another big off the bench. They're about to get another American wing who might be a bit bigger and a bit of a more of a capable, bigger rebounder, but they have their bench is like Pinder,
yeah,
Tease, Dylan, McVay.
Pretty light on.
Madronia.
Yep. Tease is the only guy I really would trust out of that bunch.
Tease, I trust. I didn't hate Madronia. I thought
but he's still young. It's
spot minutes, yeah.
Can't rely on it.
McVay.
McVay. Yeah, but he's been pretty rubbish.
He's in the doghouse.
Yeah.
He gets minuscule minutes. He gets some bad times. I don't think he shares the floor with the right people as well. Yeah, he's done something. He's been a bit too mouthy, I think.
I'm Jeff Graham Gronigan, and I'm glad I'm not, I'd be getting on the phone to Obi Shea and I'd be saying, mate, what's it going to take to get you back here? Because we've got your substitute in Pinder who's just not as good. Can we have you back, please?
A lot of teams could do with, he'd say, the problem is Martin's just gone down a decal and I'm here in Sydney. I'm going to play for them instead. He's the likely replacement.
And that would be a wise decision.
Wow. Adelaide. No, I think you're tipping Southies Melbourne.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, same. And quite confidently as well. I really think Southies Melbourne, but it's strange. Tarangi and Glidden, though. All right, we're talking about putting lines through people.
Yep.
Let's go with Tarangi first. You putting a line through him? I'm not. I still see something there.
Yeah. I like he's got multiple facets to his game. So if he could figure out, okay, the three ball's not dropping, but I can lock in defensively and contribute in that way, or I can eat the glass, just do some other things. I think he's got that in him.
Mm.
So not quite. I've got the ruler over his name, but I haven't stroked the pen.
I don't have the ruler over his name. Amazingly. I saw the game he played last out and he scored in double figures, grabbed some rebounds. He looked good. Got to the foul line. I want to see him next to Brokoff. I want to see him next to a legit catch and shoot worry every time he steps on the floor for defenses. Glidden is where do we stand on Glidden? Like, I'll ask you this. Are we putting a line through his name as a player who can play one game and then the next with reliability and decent production one game after the next? Can he back up?
No.
As in he can't do that and you're putting a line through him as that type of player?
Yeah, because he hasn't backed up in two and a bit seasons or whatever it's been. So I don't see how we could possibly say that he can. The evidence says he cannot.
Are they going to start him when Brokoff arrives? Is it going to be Brokoff and him? I think it should be Tarangi and Brokoff and let Glidden see second units. But is that going to destroy his confidence? I don't know what this guy's like.
Confidence is already destroyed, isn't it?
I don't know what's destroyed.
I just don't understand him. I just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
It's like, how could you be given this such opportunity? How can you play 30 minutes of a basketball game and maybe put up a couple of shots? He's so content to just kind of shuffle around. Pass the ball,
I'm dealing with you. I'm putting a line through him as a consistent 15 points, around 40% to 50%. I don't think he can do that one game and then the next. You can't do that. That's our games for the cup. Just some overarching questions for you, though.
Yeah.
Which team?
You too.
Oh, you go first.
Okay. I want to ask you. Will this cup and the way that it's played into the quarters and things like that, so they're playing for money within the cup structure, and each quarter's worth points in its own right. Do you reckon teams are going to play to that? and try and gun for those bonus points? And if so, which team is really going to get after that? Because I think the character of some teams may play into that more than others.
It's a good question. Because I'm assuming with every quarter you win, you get an extra what kind of point? You get an extra percentage point?
A cup point or whatever.
Cup point. It doesn't go to the regular season?
Nah, so your regular season is just wins and losses. But in the cup, each a win and a loss counts, but then you also get points for quarters won. And so,
yeah, okay, which team's going to gun for it? I think the teams are going to gun for it are Southeast Melbourne. I think that's very much in the Simon Mitchell wheelhouse to try and win every quarter. And then I think Perth will think that they can do it as well. I think I think that's a way that they'll look at it and go, well, if quarters are, let's get up in quarters 1, 2, 3, and then we can rest Cotton in the fourth and lose that quarter. I think there'll be a little ginning going on like that from them. The other one, Southeast Melbourne, Perth and Melbourne, I think are the teams that winning a quarter is going to favour. Team it's not going to favour is Brisbane. Brisbane, especially if it's points in the fourth quarter, they drop their fourth quarters all the time.
Yeah. That's interesting because I sort of see that. I see that sort of winning the quarter stuff as being more attractive to the teams that are more towards the bottom of the ladder, like the 36ers and the Illawarra anyway, because they just got point production everywhere. And maybe even the Breakers just think, screw it, we're just gonna. Bombs away.
No matter what they try, I don't think it's gonna be successful. I don't think they could win a quarter if they wanted to or not. It's a problem.
Yeah, I just wonder as well, generally, how much impact that will have, or is that just one of those things that we introduced and actually nobody will play to?
Why this is not playing to an Elam?
Oh my goodness!
When don't get us started on this. We're starting to get a reputation for this, but why is this not playing to an Elam?
It's the perfect structure for an Elam
for a couple of reasons. One, when you've got multiple back-to-back games, you know what an Elam ending makes certain of.
Your time game. It's a two-hour game.
It's a two-hour game. There's not going to be overtime. That's number one. And then
plus, you're trying to draw. I'm talking about you.
No, you said. I know what you're about to say. I'm going to steal your words.
You're trying to draw neutral fans.
And when it's like, oh, we're playing to an ending. The ending is the highlight. Oh, I don't know. I don't know Sydney and Illawarra. I'm from Melbourne, but gee, who's going to make this ending exciting, you know?
Yep.
I just think it's such a missed opportunity and it really irks me. It really does.
Why didn't they do it? And nobody would have cared. Nobody would have complained.
Their rationale would be it's too much of a departure from the regular season, which points from this and wins and losses from this count towards. I think that is it's superficial. No, it's not superficial. Mm. It's what's the word? Specious. It's a superficially plausible answer, but still not a good one. all right, well, so the Elam is distilled down to the fact that all it means is a guy has to hit a shot on the buzzer. Well, what happens if all your games playing in normal regular time ended like that anyway? Would they be lesser in some way? This makes no sense to me. No, Elam. It's a mistake. I want to ask you this, though. Which team is going to have the fewest amount of wins coming out of the cup exclusively? Forget what's been done before. Who's going to have the fewest coming out of the cup?
Ooh, let's see. That's a good question. I think I'm going to say Sydney.
Why?
I think their depth could be a challenge. I think they're going, so many games in a short turnaround might just hurt them. This is also assuming that Martin is kind of injured. So I really think that'll test him.
I mean, he's not there yet. That team. Yep. It's just too much at this point. The levy will have broken.
Yeah. Also, I maybe say Adelaide as well.
I think the candidates you've nailed the candidates. You have left out the Breakers, who I think are the prime position right now. If Martin returns, the Breakers are right there. But the Breakers have still got Lamar Patterson. He will.
I sort of think they might get on a roll. I think maybe just playing games, lots of games might.
They've got the love behind them. Everybody's loving them. We love you. Oh, it's so terrible what's happening. We love you. They've got all the support.
Yep.
I don't know. I think Patterson, the back-to-back games are not going to work in his favour. But I think you're right. Sydney, Breakers, 36ers are the teams I think are going to drop plenty.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, Sydney's a good answer, though. If they've not got Martin, I'm with you on that one. But as it stands, let's say they do have him. And I think the Breakers is kind of good. I'd actually think maybe Adelaide. I just feel like they get put into a pressure system, you know, where they're kind of, it's a lot of pressure to be a team. They see each other a lot more. They've had the joy of being able to go home and, I don't really like that guy, but I'll just play with him and go home. Now they're all in a room. Sloan's gone. Crocker's looking over his shoulder. They got a new import coming in. Oh, how's that going to change my minutes? Hey, coach, I like this. I'm going to show you I'm good. There's an element of that that could come unstuck for 36ers.
Yeah.
Other side of the coin, who's going to be good? Who's going to come out of this with the most amount of wins and why?
I think Illawarra might be really good. They're young. They're not missing their kids at home because they're too young to have any. I think they could come out really well ahead. And I think the two Melbourne teams, like, they've got the home court advantage, right? So you've got to give them some kind of benefit from all of that.
Yeah, I think it's Illawarra. I just think for that reason, the home court, I think it's either Melbourne or South East Melbourne.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the best performer, individual?
Ooh.
I'll give you my answer to give you time to think.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Bryce Cotton for sure. Plays every minute, plays real hard, is a family man, but is professional. He's the one guy in this league who you'd know is going to back up. He'll get 30 one night, and it's not like, oh, got 30 last night, feed up. No, it'll be 30 every night. He knows that's needed of him, you know, and it's kind of like necessity is the mother of invention.
Yep.
He'll invent himself as a master scorer, which he's already done. So I think Cotton's a pretty damn good candidate. Is there anyone else?
The only thing that worries me about Cotton is the structure that they play with that flex offense means he has to run a lot of kilometers every game.
Yeah, right.
And will he fatigue? You know,
he won't. He can't. He doesn't. legitimate concern and a good one to bring up, but I don't think. Do you think so, though? You think that'll be an issue?
I do worry that he's just carrying such a load every night. And everything about the way he plays is high energy. Like, even his jump shot is high energy. Yeah. Like, have you ever jumped that high on a jump shot in your life? Like, yeah. I know I haven't.
No, definitely not.
It's ridiculous. So I worry about that.
I hear that concern. I hear that worry, but I don't. So, when it comes to Bryce Cotton, he's one of the few guys I just don't worry about playing well.
So the guy I think that might come out of this looking fantastic, I've got two options. First of all, I'm thinking Sykes. Just everything about him says that he is just really starting to cook. I think he could be really awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm also wondering whether Machado turns it around. He's been passing the ball well. His shot's been okay, but he hasn't really had that same authority this year. And I just wonder if this will give him a chance to assert himself.
The other candidate I want to bring up, and this is my final candidate, Scottie Hobson. Okay. At home.
Yeah, you know,
going to be sort of have that advantage. Number one, he's getting plenty of the ball. It's very much these cup games are going to be. We assume it's going to be like the TBT. He seems to be a perfect TBT guy, a real get your shot, hit big shots. I think he's another candidate as well who I like.
Yeah, yep, that makes sense.
Looking at my notes, just thinking if we've got anything else to really cover. I think we've pretty much done it.
I think we're done. Hopefully we can do a couple of these games on Twitch.
Yes.
That'll be fun.
Body is keen. So when do Adelaide play? Let's look at this. Sorry. Sydney, Adelaide. Oh, on Sunday. I'm probably going to be busy. Maybe that Tuesday, Southeast Melbourne, Adelaide on the Tuesday 23rd. We'll get back to everyone on that. But
yeah,
that's going to happen. That is going to happen.
Let us know if you think there's game that we should
do. Well, when we sign off, I will say quickly, Twitch NBLPP, find us on Twitch, links in the description. Buy a couple of Marvelous. I've got 7 copies left. That one's good. I've got an interview with Lindsay Gaze. I spoke to him earlier this afternoon. He's an absolute sweetheart. You'll enjoy that. Andrew and I will do our best to get these out through the cup.
Yep.
And outside of that, that's about it. Andrew, anything else?
Yeah, no, like, talk to us on Twitter. Tell us what you think.
Yeah.
At NBL you got the pod, at Andrew Kenyon. Follow us there. Have a
speaking
chat.
Speaking of Twitter. Dan Ewing. Kevin White stock. Where are you? Last thing to talk about before we go. Where are you at with that? I feel a little bit vindicated. I feel like he got hot. And then
Dan Ewing came at me pretty hard, I've got to say. The heckle came thick and fast.
That's one of the river boys, okay? He will rip your face off, Andrew Kenyon.
Look, Kevin White, he hit a couple of three-point shots. Couldn't believe it first place because he didn't do that in many years before this one.
He had a good game.
But then the second game, where's the consistency? He showed me nothing in the second game, so I am still not buying Kevin White stock.
I won't lie. I was like, okay, interesting. He looks better. He looks much better than he did at Adelaide.
That's true.
Not difficult, having said that. And he actually looks better than he did at Illawarra the year before that as well. So there's a spot for him there. Like, he is going to get 12 minutes. They need him to play those minutes. So he's got an opportunity. I'm not down on Kevin White. He looked all right. Fair play. Yep.
I still get nervous as he dribbles the ball up the court, though.
That is it. And you have every reason to be. Anyway, that's it from us. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Rate and review, blah, blah. See you next time.
Bye.